Title of this morning's of our sermon this morning is. I thought I wrote it down. The perfect timing of grace. Amen. The perfect timing of grace. Grace has a timing. Time is something that we all. How many like time? How many have plenty of time for everything you want to do? Come on, man. How many, praise God, hallelujah. What is time? What is time? Anybody know what time is? Don't tell me what time it is. What is time? Hallelujah. I was looking around and said, time is a component quantity, of various measurements to sequence events. To compare the duration of events or the intervals between events, and to quantify the rates of changes in those events. That's what time is. I don't get it. How many of you got that? Cool. You said, come on, read it again. No, I don't want to read it again. Hallelujah. Time, it goes out, and it's broken up into measurements. Is that right? Just like months, days, years, minutes, hours, seconds. You know, time is just broke. I mean, it's got all sorts of types of increments in time. But time is something that we all have. Amen? Everybody says, I got time. Yeah, great. Hallelujah. I'm going to read you some time quotes. Time is what we all want most, but what we use the worst. How many know that? Does that sound right? That's crazy. This isn't gospel, so you can say, hey, I disagree with that. If you want to disagree with it, you can. Okay, you will never find time for anything. If you want time, you must make it. Is that a quote? Mm-hmm. Time is more valuable than money. You can get more money, but you can't get more time. Is that right? Amen. Hallelujah. The greatest gift you can give someone is your time. I like this one. Because when you give your time, you are giving a portion of your life that you will never get back. Is that cool? That's cool. I like that one. Giving and giving and giving again. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving of your time. Hallelujah. I want to talk about how grace works with time, because there is a timing with God. Everything in the universe is timed perfectly. How many of you know that? Yeah. I was just watching a video, and I just got to show it at the church one of these days. One of these days we'll talk, and I've been talking about it a lot. But nevertheless, it is just so amazing how the stars move like clockwork. Everything is moving in time. And it's being that that's that way, how many know that God has times and seasons for us that we step into, step out of? And so I just want to talk about that for us this morning, just kind of get our mind kind of looking at what God might be doing, okay? Hallelujah. So let's go to Matthew. Well, first scripture I want to show you is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. You guys all know this. And I think there was a song about this. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Is that right? Look at this scripture, and if you go there on your own, you can talk about a time to sit, time to stand, time to sing, time to dance. So it talks about all sorts of times that there is. And so, but to everything there is a season, and there is a purpose under heaven. Is that right? Kind of gives us a little bit of an idea about how God looks at the time and about the time that we're in today. How many know we're in a good time? How many know that God has prepared you for this time? Do you know that? I mean, you just got to know that God didn't put you, like I've said before, in the 1500s or the 1400s. He put you here today at this time right now because there's a reason for it. Because who you are and what you know about who he is in you and what he's going to do in your life so that he can speak to a world. Amen? So, praise God. We're going to start. Glory to God. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Jesus has stepped into time for his ministry. He came to that point of time where he was, how old was he? Jesus was 30 years old, and he began, he knew it was time to go about his father's business. He said that when he was 12 years old. He told his mom, don't you know I need to be about my father's business? But when he was 30 years old, now it's time for that open ministry for Jesus to do. And he stepped into it, and he had gone into a desert. He had got baptized by John the Baptist. And then when he left John the Baptist, the Bible says that he was taken into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, being tempted and attacked by the devil. And when he got through with that, the Bible says that he left in the Spirit and in power, okay? And so he goes and he's, now it's time till there are 12 men out there somewhere, is that right? That he had to go and collect. These guys, they might not know that they've got a calling. Peter didn't know he had a calling. John didn't know. Matthew, all these guys had no idea what Jesus was about, what was about to happen in their lives and how it was going to change. But Jesus come into where Peter and John, I'm sorry, Peter and Andrew and a couple of other guys, I can't remember their names right now, sorry. But he comes up unto them and he says something. That's where we're going to be at right now in the scriptures, where he comes up and he says this to them. Verse 18 in Matthew chapter 4 says this, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. What's going on with this? Does that seem kind of weird to you? Why is that? There's something that's happening here. I said, well, wait a minute. He just said, follow me. And they just said, okay. And they just walked off and started following him. What's with that? I don't get it. And then when I looked at it, I go, man, that's kind of crazy. The way Matthew reports of what happened with these guys is just one of those things that he doesn't put a lot of detail in it, does it? The Word of God says this in John chapter 6, verse 44. Can you put that on the board, please? John 6, 44 says this. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Did I get that right? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. These guys were being drawn to Jesus. Do you know that? So that's kind of what was going on in their lives. But it's kind of, in Matthew, it's kind of strange to look at, because he just says, follow me. Okay, I'm going, man. That doesn't happen. How many know that? And Jesus didn't do anything any different than what we are to do. Do you know that? When he came into the earth, he came to show us how to walk. He came to be a pattern for us to follow, to know this is how a man of God walks in the earth. So when you walk up to somebody, follow me, and you turn around and say, I said, follow me. Dude, I said, follow me. And you say, no, you can stay there. But the fact of the matter is there's some details left out of this. So we're going to backtrack a little bit. Is that okay with you guys? We're going to backtrack and look at some of the details that might have happened when Jesus came out of that wilderness. There was something that happened that caused all these guys that as soon as they saw him and he said those words to them, I'm gone. I'll see you later, Dad. Hey, but what about the ship, son? Hey, see ya. We'll get back with you. There's something had to happen. Amen. So let's move over. Let's kind of backtrack a little bit, but we're going to go into the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. And I'm going to say this to you. The way God draws people is by his grace. Okay? By grace you are what? Saved. Come on. Hallelujah. Starting at Luke 4, starting at verse, I've got verse 14. Verse 13 says that when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And then, so this is, he was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. And verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region. This is one of those keys. It is a fame went out of him. I mean, he just come out of the wilderness, but the Bible says he come out of the wilderness with what?
Power.
Hallelujah. He come out, man. Woo, come on, man. What do you want to know? No, come on. He come out with power, and he was walking. And it says, and he taught, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and that's the first place he went was Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region. Why was there? He says, because he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And verse 16 says he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Jesus had a custom of what? Going to Sabbath day, going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Is that right? Jesus had a custom of going to church. Amen? Come on, man. He had a custom of going to the house of God. Jesus, that's what Jesus did. And as his custom was, he stood up to pray. What does that mean? There was probably, you know, some order there in those synagogues. And when they said there was going to be a reading, fellas, or whatever, I don't know what they were saying in there, he stood up. Watch out, man. Amen? He was full of the Spirit and of power. And when he went to that synagogue and they said, hey, we need somebody to read, Jesus stood up. I like that. I like that thought. Hey, man, I'll do it. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Let's go. And there was delivered, I'm going to read verse 17. There was delivered unto him a book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written. I love this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Praise God. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20 says, and when he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Everybody's looking at him. He reads that word, and everybody's watching him. And I imagine somebody's there going, there's something different about the way he's reading it. Would you guys say that? I would say that there was something a lot different about when he was reading it to when everybody else in the synagogue would read. When he was saying it, when he was reading it, there was a life going out of him that was pouring out upon all these folks, and they were looking at him, and they're all kind of wondering at him. And then he tells them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Verse 22 says, and all bear him witness, and they all saw, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. See, here there was something different about the way he was speaking and what he was saying. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? Oh, now we're getting into trouble. Amen. Folks are looking at him after the flesh and not hearing what the Spirit was saying to them. They began to check him out. Hey, wait a minute. This is Joseph's son. And Jesus knew what they were saying. How many of you know that? When Jesus had this, when he's in the power of the Spirit, he had this ability to understand what they were thinking for some reason. Is that right? You'll find that all through Scripture. He knows what they were thinking. And he would say, why are you saying that? You know. But he knew what they were thinking, and he told them, you know what, a prophet is without honor in his own house, in his own land. Why? Because everybody knows him. Is that right? Everybody, oh man, that's that guy, man. That guy used to steal oranges off my tree, man. You know, and everybody knows, so a guy gets saved, and nobody said, nah, don't really pay no attention to him. Just like, how many of you had nobody pay attention to you? Hallelujah. Because they know you. But get somebody that don't know you, you talk to them a little bit, man, they go, man, you're blessing my life, man. You're speaking to me. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And they did that to Jesus. And Jesus goes ahead and tells them about the scriptures. He says, you know, there was a widow. There were a lot of widows in Jerusalem at the time of Elijah, and there was a famine. But none of the women in Jerusalem got anything from God. But there was a lady in the town of Sidon, which is in Jerusalem, one poor lady, and God went, and she got food from God. And then he tells them, then in the time of Elisha, there was many lepers in Jerusalem, he tells them. Oh, many lepers. But none of them were healed except for a man of Syria, and his name was Naaman. He went to see Elisha, and he was healed. And when he said that to them, that a prophet is without honor in his own house, in his own city, ooh, they got mad. Amen? They go, hey, who is this? Who is he? Who's this guy think he is? I'm going to read verse 28. It says, and they in the synagogue, when they had heard these things, were filled with wrath. They rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill where the city was built, that they might cast him headlong. They took him up to a cliff, and they were going to throw him over. You know what? Let's get rid of this guy. Who does he think he is? And they led him up to that cliff, but the Bible says he walked right through them. Is that right? Do you know why he walked right through them? His time wasn't ready. It wasn't his time to die. Is that right? See, God is in charge of times and seasons. He's in charge of time. And in every one of our lives, he's in charge of the time that we're in. Do you realize that? Do you know that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 31 says, verse 30 says, he passing through the midst of them went his way. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was what? His word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out and hurt him not. Verse 36 says, and they were all amazed, and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Verse 37. The fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. People were talking about Jesus. Amen? He was becoming very well reported about. Some people might have been saying some bad things about him. Other people were saying, hey man, this guy cast out demons with authority. But people were talking about him. Is that right? Amen. How many of you know that maybe it's possible that Andrew, Peter, Simon, Simon is Peter, but all those guys that we heard about in Matthew, those guys were hearing about Jesus. They were hearing about this man that people were going to and getting healed. where the Jews in the synagogues were upset at and said, man, this guy don't know who he is. You know, who does he think he is? They're probably talking about him. Talk going out all over. How many know there's? It's pretty good. How many know it's a pretty good? Pretty sure that they were talking about him. Amen? Do we do that today? Come on, man. We talk about folks. Better not. Amen? If you're going to talk about somebody, you better talk about them right. Amen? There's a way to talk about folks. Build them up. Never tear them down. Amen? Don't ever tear people down. Praise God. They're talking about Jesus. So I think that Simon Peter and all those guys, Andrew.
James and John.
Thank you, James and John. All these guys were hearing about this Jesus. And then this happens. The fame of verse 37, the fame of him went out into every place in every country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into whose house? Simon's house. I'm not sure, but I'm going to say in my own heart, I'm going to say that this was Simon Peter's house. I'm going to say that just because I believe it. And it says, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered to him. You think Simon Peter saw that happen? I believe he did. I believe. See, I'm going to tell you something. Every incident, even the listening of what people are talking about, it's a time of grace. Do you understand that? It is grace coming in and speaking something. Hallelujah. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with different diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, allowed them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Amen? Praise God. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came to him and stayed him. They delayed him, that he should not depart from them. And when he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God in other cities, therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So these men were hearing about Jesus. Now we're coming to the part that where Matthew said that he walked up and said, hey, come with me. They left. Hey, leave your dad. Leave the boats, come with me. And they dropped everything and left. Seems kind of weird, but here's what Luke says. Starting in chapter 5, it came to pass that as people were pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land, and sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this is a time of grace. Peter is looking at grace. He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't sense it, but it is grace. It is God showing him things that he doesn't know anything about. Is that okay? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the catch of fishes which they had taken. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. See all the details that Luke is filling in for us? And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Praise God. That's how it happened. When Jesus came to them, they had heard about him. And when they saw miracles, Peter remembered about mother-in-law. And they had been hearing that he was healing people. See, all these were itty-bitsy times of grace. How many of you guys have had times of grace before you knew Jesus? Do you remember that? Do you remember those times? I remember one time when I was, I don't know, I can't remember how old I was. It's too long ago. But my dad was sick and in the hospital. And for Christmas, I had made out of popsicle sticks. I had made a cross. You know how you glue sticks together as a kid? And I made out of a paper bag with a little ball of aluminum foil balled up in them, and I made a little cross with Jesus on the cross. And my mom asked me, what are you going to want to give to your dad? And I said, hey, here it is right here. And she looked at it and she goes, oh, okay. And, you know, my dad's in the hospital. So she gave him that. A little later on, I had a little block of wood and I started digging out of it. This is going to sound weird to you guys. I kind of carved out the inside of it, had a lid for it and everything, had it formed. But what I made was a coffin. I was a little boy. I didn't know what I was. I really didn't realize what my dad was going through. So it was his birthday, and my mom asked me, what do you want to give your dad? I said, I got this right here. And the lid didn't have a hinge on it or anything. It just kind of just set it on top. And then I said, here you go. And it had little rails on the side of it made out of toothpicks that were for the people to carry the coffin. And I didn't. And I saw my mom when I handed it to her. She looked at it and she goes, I saw her. Because I didn't know, but my dad had cancer and was passing away, and I didn't know it. I was just a little boy. And I saw my mom when she looked at it. She goes, oh. And I could see her face, and I go, you don't like it? She goes, no. She tells me, she goes, if you made it, your dad will love it. And I go, yeah, okay, cool. And she opened it, and she goes, hey, there's nothing in it. You want to put anything in there? I go, no. Took off. Right? Years later, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I was talking to a guy about just what I had made for him. And left off talking, and I went about doing my business at work. And the Lord said, do you know what you gave him? I go, what? He goes, do you know what you gave him? He says, he understood what you gave him. I said, really? And she goes, he goes, you gave him the cross of Christ. I said, yeah, I remember that. I knew that. But what I didn't know was I gave him an empty tomb. Isn't that crazy? I didn't know that. And that's what God showed me. And that was a time of grace in my life. I didn't understand it at the time, but God was working in my life. Do you understand? It was a time of grace. My mom had gone to the hospital when I was still a little boy, but it scared me to death. I'm going to tell you, because my dad went to the hospital and he never came out. So when my mom, and she knew it, she goes, it's only 3 days. And I'm crying, I'm throwing a fit. No, mom, I don't want you to go. I just don't want you to go. And I went to my bedroom and I was crying. And all of a sudden this warmth come over me. And I just felt this calm. It was a peace of God that passes all understanding. Do you understand that I'm being touched by grace? Grace is leading me to the Lord. Do you get that? You're saved by grace. Can you put up grace? I'm going to show this again. This is the Greek word is charis, okay? But this is what it means in the Greek. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't get that other part? That's okay. What charis means, get my note here. It is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That's what grace is. Charis means divine influence on your heart. So when you're going through life and God is touching you and speaking things to you, it's a time of grace. I was at work one day, and I was watching a young man named Lee Sines reading his Bible at work, and we make fun of him like crazy. Hey, look at him, man. When you're with other guys, man, you make fun of folks. Is that right? But when you're by yourself, I'm looking at him, I said, man, I wish I had that. Because he was reading his Bible and he was crying. Right out in front of everybody. Didn't care if anybody saw him. And I thought that was pretty amazing. I said, man, that is different. And what that was, it was a time of grace. Do you understand? It is divine influence. God was influencing my mind about drawing me to Christ. He's pulling me. How many like fishing? Anybody like fishing? How many like, how you got to drag that line back to you, is that right? And pull, and hopefully there's going to be a fish on the other end by the time you get it up. Is that right? I'm not a fisherman, so I don't know how to fish. Except, but I do know how to fish for men. Amen? I do know how to drag a line for men. I do know how to tie a net to find men. I do know how to do those kind of things. I do know how to bait a hook to get men. Amen? Hallelujah. You know how you bait a hook for people to come to Jesus? You love them. Just be nice to them. When they're nasty and dirty and mean to you, love them. Just keep talking nice to them. When they talk bad about you, just keep loving them. And you watch what happens. You're baiting the hook. Amen? Hallelujah. God will take care of the rest. He'll take those times of, whew, maybe it's a little pain for you. Somebody's saying something about you, but yet you've baited the hook by saying, man, you know what? Hey, let me give them a nice card. God bless you. Hallelujah. Man, they're saying, man, I cussed at this guy, and here he is, here she is, loving on me. Man, that's baiting the hook. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that people need to understand that God is drawing them? Is that right? How can people that don't know the Lord, how can they understand that God's drawing them? Basically, by us. By us loving them. Every time you write that card that's mean to that person that's been mean to you, God is drawing them. God's pulling on them. They're seeing something that they'd never seen, never expected to be loved on for what they said about you. Amen? Is that cool? That's cool, man. I love the way God does things. Hallelujah. God's perfect timing. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at verses 6 through 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. The Word of God says this, I have planted and Apollos watered. God gave the increase, but God gave the increase, so then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. How many know that you are God's? You are God's building. You're his husbandry. And do you know that he's called you to water people, to draw people to Jesus? Do you know that? God will use you to draw people to him. Hallelujah. You know, do you remember the story where Jesus went in the synagogue and he knew that they were looking for him to do a miracle on the Sabbath day? Jesus knew it. And when he walked into there, he noticed that there was a man with a withered hand up front. So he knew their thoughts, that they were thinking about arresting him because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. So he says, hey, is it right to do good or evil on the Sabbath day? And the Bible says that they didn't answer him. So he's looking around. And the Word of God says in Mark chapter 3 that he got upset. He got mad. He got angry at him. Because these men should know better. How many of you know it's good to do good all the time? Is that right? When they need something, it's good to do something about it. Amen? All the time, no matter what. Huh. And Jesus looked at him and goes, what a hard crowd, man, this is. So he tells the man with a withered hand, he says, stand up. Now that man with a withered hand, that's, you're telling him something he could do. Is that right? Jesus told him something he could handle. Stand up, bro. Guy stands up. And he looks around the crowd. And he tells him, stretch forth your hand. Now what's he doing? He's telling him something that man didn't think he could do. He had a withered hand. He didn't think that he could be able to stretch it forth. But when God told him, stretch it forth, something came to him. He says, okay, dude. And the Bible says that he stretched forth his hand, and his hand was made just as healthy as the other one at that moment. You know, there's things that God have told us to do, and we do them. We can do it. Is that right? We can do it. Yeah, I can do that. I can handle that, God. Praise God. But then there's other things that he tells you to do. When you say, I can't do that. We'll leave that to Brother Rick. He's real good at that. We'll leave that to Brother Leo. He's good at that. Brother, Sister Christy, man, she can. I mean, we'll leave that to Sister Christy. She can do that. That's no problem. But don't ask me to do that. Oh, come on, man. Sometimes we position ourselves in a place where God is saying, hey, if you do this for me right now, it's a time of grace in your life. You're going to find out you've got great things. Is that cool? It's a time of grace. You can water. How many like enjoy watering folk? Anybody in here? How many, the other day, Reuben and I were at a restaurant eating breakfast. And man, let me tell you, that boy likes to eat. Oh, is he here today? Come on, man. And while we were praying, I noticed the guy that was behind the cash register was watching us, because when I looked up, I saw him watching us. We're praying. And I had been thinking about this, and I said, you know what, God, I'm going to give this kid a moment of grace. I'm going to pass it on to him. So we went up to pay, and while I was paying, I said, hey, you go to church anywhere, man? He goes, no, I haven't. He goes, I said, well, you know what, God loves you, bro. And he wants you to know that he's got great things for you. But the thing, fact of the matter is you have to get Jesus into your heart and allow him to take you there. Do you hear me? Yeah. Well, yeah, okay, yeah. And folks, you know what? Grabbed my receipt and walked off. Amen? I'm going to tell you, that young man received a moment of grace. See, because God tells us to plant. God tells us to water. Who knows what else might have happened in his life 2 days ago where God was doing something and he saw God do something. Folks, these are opportunities that God is giving us. And we've got time. Is that right? How many? If you got time, raise your hand. Praise God. Okay, you know, I got something for you guys. No, I'm just kidding. Really. So seriously, this is what God is saying. He says, hey, he goes, what you don't think you can do, step out and do it. Because the time is now. When you sense that thing in your life, when you sense to do something, God says, step out, do it, and watch what happens. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Some of you are saying, man, I'm ready to preach right now. Amen? Step aside, Hank. Let me preach. Is that what you're saying? Some of you are saying, praise God. Let me just show you this one more scripture. A couple of scriptures, I'm sorry. People need grace events in their lives. Amen? He that waters shall be watered. That's Proverbs 11:25. How many of you want God to water you? How many of you want God to water you with the understanding and the wisdom that comes from above? I'm going to tell you something. If you water other folks, God will water you. It'll start a little irrigation process. Amen? Hallelujah. I've got a lot of trees in my house, around my house. And, you know, I spend some time watering those trees. Okay, time to go over here. How many know it takes time? Yeah. Brother McDonald was always telling me, he goes, you know what? Just come to your house. I'll set you up in an irrigation thing and it'd be all over. You know what? But I'm going to tell you something. I thought about that and I think that's a good idea. How many of you think it's a good idea to have irrigation if you got trees and stuff? I think it's a good idea. But the thing about it that I started thinking about was, while I'm watering those trees, I'm going, Lord, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Brother Leo. Thank you. And I'm praying. And you know what? If I get this irrigation system going out, it might interrupt that's happening. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Sometimes not everything is easy. But the time that you're taking to do something for God. Do something for those around. You know what? We have to quit really looking at ourselves so much. And this is really a kind of a sermon that says, look at those around you and do something about them. You know, we've got to have a balance. Yeah, you got to look at yourself. You got to forgive yourself. You gotta, you know, build yourself up in your most holy faith, like the Word of God tells us. But we also need to be looking around and say, you know what? Let me help that person. Let me help that person. God, help me to help that person. Lord, use me to help that person. Because you know what? God doesn't want a bunch of self-centered folks. Is that right? Come on, man. He said, no, don't tell us that. Yeah, we're gonna say, hey, how many like being self-centered? I hate it. I hate it. When I sense a self-centeredness going on in my life, I say, God, get this out of me. This ain't Hank. This ain't Henry. This is not me. I want to watch my TV. Come on, man. Get out of here with that, man. I need to wash my car. Even little things like washing your car. Just leave me alone. There you go. One day I got up in the morning, and I was doing Sunday school at another church, and as my manner was, like I said, I would get up and I'd get all my books out and I'd start reading the Word of God, start going over my lesson and everything. And I'm coming to the table with my coffee cup, and the Lord said to me, wash the dishes. And I said, Lord, well, I thought about it. I go, this is Sunday morning. I study my lesson on Sunday morning. I'm not washing the dishes. Sat down, put my cup down, and then all of a sudden I thought, what if it was the Lord? Quit being so self-centered, Henry. Is that right? That's what was going on. So I said, you know what? I got up, washed the dishes. Rosie comes out of the bedroom a little and she looks at me. She goes, you washed the dishes. I go, yeah. And man, I saw her eyes water up and she went back in the bedroom. I'm going to tell you, folks, I had a good day that day. You know what? I don't know what was going on, but I know that God said, you need to wash the dishes. And it, you know what? It was a ministry. It wasn't about me, about the Bible teacher. Come on, man. It was about Rosie's husband. It was about what Rosie needed that morning. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Times of grace. Times of where that was a time of grace. You get that? That was when the Holy Spirit said something to me. There's grace involved. And every time you go, you have an event of grace. We talked about what time is. It is a bunch of events happening that's measured in different ways. Every time you have an event happen with God, you know what that's called? That's going from glory to glory, to glory to glory. You're gaining things that God, you're hearing God's word, and you're gaining and gaining and gaining. That's what God's talking about. God is talking about gaining in your life and not losing. Not losing time, but gaining the time. Amen? Hallelujah. He wants you to gain the time. Praise God. This is the last verse I'm going to read to you. It's in Galatians. It's in Ephesians. And it's not really a verse. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you look at what God has done and how perfect His timing works in the universe, I want you to know this. I want you to think about this a little bit, that His perfect timing is working in your life also. Do you know that? Do you know that? You got to know that because the Word of God says that we're predestined. What does that mean? Predestination. Here we go. Predestination. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Predestination is when you chose Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He places you on a path that takes you to where He has designed for you to go. Is that right? That's what predestination is. But I want you to hear this. And watch how many times He says grace and think about the times. Okay? Watch how many times He says it, but then think about the notes. Am I getting confused? Yeah, you are. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Green Valley, Sahuarita. Is that right? Is that okay? And Tucson, hallelujah. To the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace. Divine influence be on you. Let God's Holy Spirit be upon you and peace. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you know that? Do you realize God has already blessed you with everything that you need? Every spiritual blessing, He's already blessed you with it. He's given it to you. Why? Because of Christ. Hallelujah. According as He has chosen you in Him before the foundation of the world. Is that crazy? That's nice. Nice to know. He's chosen you at this time, today, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Amen? Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of what? His will. When you give your heart to God, which is His will, which He brings to you by His grace, He's got a purpose and a plan for you that you have signed up for. Amen? Come on, man. How many like signing up for stuff? Read the fine print. Read the fine print. No, God says, hey, you know what? I've got something for you. And you're going to love it. How many of you know that what God has for you, you're going to love? It's going to fit you perfectly because it's designed for you specifically. Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. And it says this, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. You see that? The glory of His grace. That grace that comes into your heart brings glory. Glory after glory after glory. Do you get that? Hallelujah. That's what God's doing in your life. Wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. Now look at verse 10. It says, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, and I want you to look at the word, and I don't know if in your Bible, but in the King James, it says times. Time with an S. You see that? Times with an S. It could read this way, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, but it doesn't say time in the King James. It says times with an S. Why? Because your time is different than your time. Your time is different than your time. Your time is different than your time. It's times. In the dispensation or in the giving out of all the times that every one of us have, He says He wants to bring it all right back to you. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are both in the heaven and which on earth, even in Christ. Do you get that? Somebody will, no, I don't get it. I'm going to tell you something. His plan is to give you time so that you can speak into the lives of other folks, into their time. Do you get it? Do you hear that? He's trying to get you to speak into the times of others. Because when you speak into the times of others, you're bringing grace into their lives. Those are times of grace wherein He pulls them in. He draws them, just like He drew James, John, Andrew, and Simon. He pulled them in by what they were hearing, what they were seeing. He brought them in. And that's how He's going to bring the lost in. Hallelujah. Folks, I'll tell you something. He's after the lost. Look at this. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for with His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. And then it says, by grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Even when you are dead in sins, He's quickened you by grace. When you didn't know Him, when I didn't know Him, grace was pulling me in. It was drawing me. It was God by His Spirit. Because the Word of God said, no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. Is that right? No man comes to Christ. So the Father is drawing. Folks, let me tell you something. It's time that we get into the drawing cords of God. Amen? That we stand and we say, God, help me to speak to those that are out there so that You would draw them in. And it doesn't take much. Is that right? It don't take much. It just takes a little time out of your heart, out of your life, to touch the lost. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that God is interested in the lost? Can I tell you that God is concerned about the lost? Hallelujah. Because if somebody doesn't speak to them, they'll be lost forever. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah.